With a look at Radio Cayman's local news, I'm Dion Anglin. It's been over a week since Cayman has had a confirmed COVID-19 case. The Medical Officer for Health, Dr. Samuel Williams Rodriguez, reports 210 COVID-19 tests have been carried out since it was last reported, and all were negative. Cayman has a total of 201 confirmed cases of coronavirus. Of those, 197 have recovered, one has died, and three are considered to be active cases which are asymptomatic, according to health officials. 114 people are in isolation in Cayman, either at home or in government facilities. A total of 25,740 people have been tested for the virus so far in Cayman. Lawmakers decide to increase the membership of the Standing Business Committee from 5 to 7.
And be it further resolved that the Standing Business Committee shall be comprised of the following 7 members: the Premier, the Deputy Premier, the elected member for Newlands, the elected member for Prospect, the elected member for West Bay West, the elected member for Northside, and the elected member for West Bay North.
Tabling the government motion in the House, Premier the Honourable Alden McLaughlin said this change will bring the House in line with the Constitution, fixing a breach in standing orders.
The government is striving on the advice of the Attorney General, who is doing his job to ensure that this House and its members, who insist in every other respect that government should comply with the Constitution and uphold the Constitution.
New appointee, MLA Austin Harris.
I briefly wish to thank honourable members for the trust they continue to demonstrate in my abilities and contributions to see fit to add me to the Standing Business Committee, which, as the Honourable Premier mentioned, meets to decide the business that will come before this Honourable House.
The motion passed in Legislative Assembly. Ever need to cash in that warranty, only to get slammed with duty charges when the item arrives? Well, MLA Chris Sanders, on behalf of Northside MLA Ezard Miller, asked the government to consider addressing that very issue.
Whereas the current Customs and Border Control Law 2018 does not make specific provision for the importation of items being replaced under warranty, and whereas this allows the Customs and Border Control to refuse to accept an invoice of zero value in the matter of replacement items under warranty, the result of which is the customer or the business in Cayman has to pay a duty. Be it therefore resolved that government consider removing the word unused where it appears in section 49 1B 1 and 2 of the Customs and Border Control Law 2018 to authorize the Customs and Border Control to accept an invoice for the warranty replacement of zero value.
The Premier said government was happy to accept the motion.
As the member from Bordentown West has pointed out, it will allow persons to avoid having to pay duty in these particular circumstances. And we're grateful to both the member from Northside and to the member from Bordentown West, and indeed the seconder of the motion, for bringing this.
The Honourable Alden McLaughlin told Mr. Saunders his administration will proceed to draft the necessary amendment and have the bill available for debate in the Legislative Assembly, quote, at the earliest opportunity. The Community Affairs Minister reports an increase in the Needs Assessment Unit assistance during COVID-19.
Based on information, 1,653 families were receiving services from the Needs Assessment Unit in March of 2020, before COVID.
Premier and Community Affairs Minister, the Honourable Alden McLaughlin, told lawmakers at a recent sitting of the Legislative Assembly, as a result of challenges brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic, there was a continued issue throughout April, May and June. By mid-June 2020, the numbers had increased to 3,386 families receiving assistance.
In addition, 1,753 food cards at a value of $150 each were provided by the NAU as interim assistance to applicants not already receiving ongoing services.
In order to effectively respond to increasing demands and expedite services to those most vulnerable, the Premier said changes were made to NAU's operations, including issuing contracts to 4 temporary staff effective until the end of the year. In addition to the existing staff complement of 31 persons, a total of 23 staff members were redeployed to assist the NAU with increased demands.
With implementation of the Cayman Islands COVID-19 regulations, staff automatically extended services without request or assessment to existing clients to ensure that the most vulnerable Caymanians already known to the NAU were provided with a minimum 3-month extension of their services. To expedite services, the NAU relaxed their requirements and processes, especially for persons who were most vulnerable, including older persons, pregnant women, and those with high-risk medical conditions.
In addition, phone lines were established to assist persons by phone, which was manned by some redeployed staff. In terms of ongoing support to the staff, the Premier noted there is ongoing revision on how to best accommodate staff's needs while ensuring they meet the demands for services.
To safeguard the mental and physical well-being of staff at the NAU, the following measures were implemented. Government's public health measures and guidance were upheld. For example, staff meetings are held in the general office area to maintain social distance or by Zoom or conference calls. The amount of persons in the reception area at any given time is limited, and staff are provided with personal protective equipment. Hand sanitizers and work areas are frequently sanitized.
The Premier also noted flexible working arrangements and hours and working remotely were implemented where possible or necessary due to high-risk medical conditions and food provided to staff remaining in office. Staff leave was also accommodated to allow for breaks. In addition to the honorarium recently announced by the Deputy Governor, the Ministry is also implementing an acknowledgement and recognition plan to pay tribute to those who have worked tirelessly throughout the COVID-19, which is expected to be rolled out in the next 6 months. Despite the volatile markets, the Public Service Pensions Board is going ahead with a new initiative that the Deputy Governor says will boost the fund's offerings and offer greater opportunities to those it serves.
Despite incredible challenging times in 2020, the PSPB fund is resilient and well-positioned for downside protection and eventually upside capture as the world economies and markets rebound. The Public Service Pension Board is now also moving ahead with a major initiative of implementing a new pension administration system over the next 18 to 24 months that will greatly enhance the way the Public Service Pension Board does pension administration and the plan members' experience.
The Honorable Franz Mandison told lawmakers in the House last week the system will improve efficiency, timeliness, accessibility and communication for plan members. He is confident the project is one that will, quote, exceed expectations. In other local news, seizing the moment and transitioning to a greener economy. That's the focus for the National Conservation Council and the Department of Environment as they continue to lend their helping hand to the economic recovery efforts of the government. Radio K-Man's Shanda Gallego reports.
The National Conservation Council and the Department of Environment has released a Seizing the Moment to Transition to a Greener Economy document, which identifies a series of opportunities to help, quote, sow the seeds of an economic recovery plan that builds resilience and has the principles of sustainability embedded at its core. According to the NCC and DOE, while we have experienced a period of unprecedented upheaval, changing nearly every aspect of our daily lives, it has also provided opportunities to make changes that will result in more climate-sensitive and resilient systems, which are better able to manage and mitigate similar future events. The NCC and DOE say as we work towards opening up the local economy, we must therefore also take deliberate action to plan for a future which capitalizes on these opportunities and embraces sustainability. They say it is through collective, planned, and deliberate action that we can make key changes that will have long-lasting effects on the environment and provide a sustainable future and a better quality of life. Now, in order to assist the island's economic recovery in the short term and transition to a greener, more sustainable economy, the NCC and DOE say changes must be made in 8 key sectors: energy independence and diversification, sustainable tourism, building renovations, sustainable mobility and transport, the recovery of biodiversity, sustainable agriculture, amenities and connectivity, and circular economy. The 13-page Seizing the Moment to Transition to a Greener Economy document outlines each of these 8 key sectors and is now available for review on the DOE.KY website. Officials reiterate the intention of underpinning these recommendations is to highlight opportunities for potential stimulation of employment, short-term gains, leading to large learning curve effects, which will generate longer-term benefits. Shanda Gallego, Radio K-Man News.
Gather the kids this summer and take part in the National Trust Kids Explorer Passport Challenge from the 27th until the 31st of July. To take part in the exploration activities, purchase an Explorer Passport for $10. The passport comes equipped with a map, stickers highlighting local sites, and interesting facts. The adventure will take you and the kids out to spots like the National Trust Mission House, the Blue Iguana Conservation Facility, Bioluminescent Bay, Spots Beach, and even the Crystal Caves. Children can submit photos and a short essay about their experience, what they learned, and their favorite site by August 7th. The winning submission will be announced on August 14th. The winner will be posted on the National Trust website, social media, and receive a few prizes. Email submissions to marketing@nationaltrust.org.ky. Before you put on your running shoes for the Intertrust Marathon, they'd like you to get a little creative first. Radio K-Man's Felicia Rankin-Solins has the details.
The organizers of the 2020 Intertrust Cayman Islands Marathon want you to create a winning design for the upcoming event.
I think we were just thinking that it's a different year and we wanted to do something different. Seeing a lot of things happening now, a lot of creative ideas have come out from people online and through social media. So we thought it would be a good opportunity to do a t-shirt design competition, which we've discussed over the years.
Co-race director Rhonda Kelly says they would like the winning design to be representative of Cayman's community strength.
Yeah, I think our kind of desire is to get something that shows unity and celebration of life, and you know, and obviously the marathon is about health, and you know, celebrating how fortunate we all are to have our health and how great it's been in Cayman in regards to people coming together and us kind of just complying and just making sure that we were all safe.
The winning design can make a lasting impression on the island, says Ms. Kelly.
Well, it'll be on all the shirts. So we use and we use the same design on all our children's shirts, which is, you know, we have about 300 kids run the kids race. We have about 300 volunteers, so it'll be on all their shirts. And then on average, we do about 1,500 of the runner shirts as well. So, and obviously, we'll promote it on social media and stuff. But they'll, you know, right now, I mean, we see people running around in shirts that were done 10 years ago. So it'll kind of live on in perpetuity on people.
All mediums of design are welcome, from paintings, drawings, and illustrations, or even digital. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Felicia Rankin-Solins.
The deadline for submissions in the t-shirt design competition is Friday, July 31st. Official rules and guidelines can be found at the marathon website, caymanislandsmarathon.com/t-shirt-design-contest. Core race director for the 2020 Intertrust Cayman Islands Marathon, Rhonda Kelly, says she hopes to see some fresh faces at this year's marathon as lockdown during COVID-19 got people to try new things.
We're looking forward to a unique year, obviously, but I think that we're also looking forward to a growth year in regards to local participation, because we know a lot of people have been out on the road, and because gyms were closed, they were all running, they were walking, they were out on the road, and I think that'll show a growth in local, which will be great. People hopefully take it up as a challenge for a different year and do something they've never done before and do a half marathon or a full marathon for the first time, which will be exciting.
For more information or to register for the marathon, half marathon, four-person relay, or kids fun run, visit CaymanIslandsMarathon.com or email info@CaymanIslandsMarathon.com. And Water Authority Cayman wishes to advise its valued customers of planned works to upgrade the water supply infrastructure along Elgin Avenue on Sunday, July 12th, between 4 a.m. and 12 p.m. Customers along Elgin Avenue between Cricket Square and the Hospital Road intersection and portions of Claude Hill Road will experience water service outage. One lane of Hospital Road will be closed to facilitate the works. Southbound traffic from Elgin Avenue to Hospital Road will be permitted. Motorists needing to travel to Elgin Avenue through Hospital Road from the Walker's Road and Smith Road intersection can use an alternative route by driving along Smith Road and turning onto Claude Hill Road. The Water Authority appreciates the patience and understanding of its customers and the public as it undertake these works and apologizes for any inconvenience this may cause. That's the end of Radio Cayman's Evening News. I'm Dion Anglin.